Welcome, everybody, to the Grueling Truths Tuesday Night Boxing Show, brought to you by Gridiron Mo, a new interactive football app where you get to call what you think the offense or defense should do during a live NFL game and see what all other fans have called also. Check out Gridiron Mo at www.gridironmo.com. As always, I'm your host for the Tuesday Night Boxing Show, Mike Goodpaster, and I want to welcome in my co-host, Mythical Dave Sadursky. How you doing tonight, Dave?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing great. Excited about the show tonight. Our guest tonight was a member of probably the greatest boxing team this country has ever assembled, winning a gold medal in 1976. He later became the WBA Super Bantamweight Champion of the World. Help us welcome to the Grueling Truth, Leo Randolph. How you doing tonight, champ?
I'm doing very good. Thank you, Mike and Dave. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, let's just get started. We'll go from the beginning. Were there any boxers you admired when you were growing up?
Well, I guess I really admired Aaron Pryor. I like his style and how he maneuvered in the ring, so I appreciated that.
That's, Leo, champ, you came out of the Tacoma Boys Club amateur program, which produced a number of outstanding fighters, including yourself, fellow Olympic gold medalist Sugar Ray Seals, and future world champions Rocky Lockridge and Johnny Bumpus. Can you tell us what those experiences were like for you?
Wow, it's phenomenal. We just started off as amateur kids like all other kids and just kind of stood together, and we became united as a family more or less, and we just kind of worked hard and kind of encouraged and pushed each other. So I think each other was a kind of motivator to help get to that next level.
Now, as an amateur, you had a great record. I think you were something like 160-7. Represented the United States in 1976 Olympic Games. When did you come up with the goal, and when did you think that it was really possible you could achieve making the 1976 Olympic team?
Well, what's ironic is we had a guy that he's in 1968, and I feel bad. I forgot his name. But anyway, he jumped the highest hurdler jump in the world. And he came to our gym and spoke to us about setting goals. That was in 1968. And he inspired us to set goals. And I set a goal. My goal was to win a gold medal. And that's when it started back there in, I guess, in the 60s. And I started pursuing ever since.
Champ, how does it feel, how did it feel then? And how does it feel today to be part of what is inarguably, in my opinion, the best U.S. Boxing team in Olympic history?
Well, I have great faith and great admiration to God, my father. And so I just give him the praise and the thanks for letting me be at the right place at the right time and with the right team. So I'm just thankful for being in the right place. And it's an honor. It's an honor to hear people saying things about our team and giving our team that kind of admiration.
Now, like I said, you were on a team with Sugar Ray Leonard, Michael Spinks, Howard Davis, a lot of great fighters. I've read that team's close. You guys still stay in contact? And which Olympic teammate during the Olympics did you bond most with?
Davy Armstrong. Davy Armstrong, technically he was my brother-in-law. He was married to my sister. So David Armstrong, of that team, we stayed the closest. Howard Davis, I still have his number, and I call him every once in a while. I feel really sad about his situation. And I guess David Armstrong and Howard Davis are the ones that I became really close to. And Sugar Ray Leonard, we text each other back and forth and also Facebook each other.
Champ, what do you remember about your gold medal winning fight against Roman Duvalon?
Oh my goodness, I'm like, come on God, let's do this here, come on, help me to do this. And he was really, he was tall and kind of long arm, so I had to do a lot to try to get in on him, and that's my main objective, is to put pressure on him and use combinations. And so that's, and my mind has just kept pushing. This is what you've been going for, my motivation, and I kept encouraging myself. You could do it, you could do it, you could do it, because I had hit that point, that breaking point, when you hit that wall, And I kept telling myself, you could do it, you could do it, all the way to the last round.
All right. How did the gold medal or winning the gold medal change your life? I think you were still in high school at the time, weren't you?
Yes, I was. I was at, it's called Wilson High School in Tacoma, Washington. And it just a major how you became, no one knew you till where everybody wanted to be part of you. They was flying me all over. I was doing commercials over in New York and going to different places doing speeches. And it was just phenomenal. My school, they gave me the biggest assembly that they would have at the school. So I had, it was just great. The whole thrill of winning was phenomenal. It was just overwhelming.
Yeah, that must have been, you know, as an 18-year-old, that must have been a real gas. My next question is, you know, you waited a while to turn pro after the Olympics, a good couple of years, and, you know, the fact that you were in school obviously explains part of that, but were there any other reasons?
The main thing is I didn't want to do amateur over again, and I had no desire to go pro at that time. I was approached by Leonard's promoters. A lot of the promoters was giving me all these ideas and offers, and I had many offers, but I had no desire to turn pro at that time. I guess I could say I burnt out in boxing because I started when I was 9, and so I was just kind of burnt out in boxing and training the whole works, and so it did take about 2 years before it started coming back to me and saying, okay, well, okay, maybe. And that was through my coach and that been with me from start since I was 9. His name was Joe Cloud. He's the one that carried my shoe. And so 2 years later, he said, hey, have you thought about coming back? And I said, well, a little bit in my mind. He said, well, we have this offer. If you're considering, we'll give it a shot. And so that's what motivated me, and that's what got me going was my coach, Joe Cloud.
All right, I was watching your title-winning effort today against Ricardo Cardona, and they talked, and you talked a little bit about Muhammad Ali Productions. Can you talk what it was like when you signed with them, how they helped your career, and what it was like working with the greatest?
That was absolutely extraordinary, being with Ali, because he's just such a mild and meek person. He's so humble. When he's not in the camera light, he's like to have fun and play. He was always doing tricks, card tricks, and we sit around the table talking. It was just fun being around him, encouraging, and just being in the gym with him alone, seeing him work out and spar and all was encouraging. That was motivating there along by itself, just being in that camp. So I enjoyed that. They brought me on. And they gave me some offers, and the offers that was really good. And at the time, the money-wise, they helped promote some fights that I wouldn't have had if it wasn't for their offer. So it all worked out good for me.
Champ, what are your recollections of your title loss fight against Sergio Palma? What did you attribute that loss to?
Not preparing. I had no idea that he was going to come out. Like, he thought we was only going 3 rounds, so he came all out. He didn't know it was going to be a 15-round fight. We were supposed to pace ourselves, but he came out there. Well, we had no idea. We didn't watch any fights of him. I had no idea that he was already that high up there in the ratings. He was number 2. He had fought Cardona, and they had been fighting each other off and on, and I didn't realize that, and so I guess I went in there naive, not knowing that that he was as strong as he was, as swift as he was, and as determined as he was. So I kind of went in there naive. I think that's what it was. We didn't prepare. Like I said, we were flying all over doing commercials. I'm trying to make an excuse because what it takes you to become a champion is what it's going to take to keep a champion. And I didn't go to that same level on defending the title as I did on getting the title. So I blame myself for that.
Now, what do you think was the best and worst thing about being the champion? I think you probably just gave us a little bit of the worst right there, but what was the best thing about being a champion and what was the worst thing?
The best thing is you accomplish your goal. You set a goal to be the best in the world, and you achieved it. You became on top of the mountain. You are the ultimate. And so you can't get no higher than that. I achieved my desire as boxing, and amateur and professional. And I guess the worst thing is I had to go through trials. I was with the Duva camp, and the Duva, I'm not trying to boast on them, but they took me to court because when you become champion, all those people that are trying to be part of that, everybody want to be part of you when you become champion. And we had so many obstacles in our way before the fight. It was amazing how many people came out and said, hey, I signed this, because I did sign a contract with a TV commercial company, and I thought they only wanted to do commercials, but they wanted to be my promoter, and I didn't know that. And so when I became champion, they said, hey, you signed a contract with us. We own you, like that. And I was fighting people left and right trying to have this fight with Palmer.
Champ, you chose to retire after the fight, and you were still very, very young. You were only 22 years old. Can you, talk us through what you went through behind that decision and why you made it?
I had said before the fight or any fight, I said once I get into a fight to where I had no control, conscious, got knocked out or anything to that level, that I wasn't going to pursue the sport. And that's what happened. I was young in age, but not in boxing, because I started when I was 9. So all those years I just had accumulated, and I just had at that time no desire to go to do it all over again. As you probably know, training is not easy, and I'm not making excuses. I just had no desire to go through that particular kind of punishment again. I felt it was punishment to my body, so I want to move on to another level.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean, because I'm a little overweight now, but I'm 46, and I don't even want to get up and walk around the block to lose it.
Okay. Wow, I hear you. Well, I make myself get up. I work out every day. And I feel in good shape, but I have three jobs. I work three jobs around here, with the city of Tacoma, and also I have my own limousine service. I do that, and I work with another limo service called Bayview Limo. It's near Seattle.
Okay, I read somewhere where when you were littler, you actually, when you got bigger, you wanted to be a truck driver. Is that true?
Absolutely, and after the fights, I went to a truck driving school, got my truck driving license, became a truck driver. So I accomplished another goal that I had.
You accomplished all your goals then.
Yeah, thank God. I give God all the credit. As I got here at this company, I wanted to be a supervisor here at this company. So they sent me to school. I went to school for 2 years to be a supervisor here at this company. And I went through that, and I accomplished that goal. That was a major goal, a major, major goal. Because I had failed.
Retiring at 22, though, were you ever tempted to return to the ring?
I did. I did return back. I went to the Sphinx camp when Sphinx was getting ready to fight, Larry Holmes. Sphinx was going to fight Larry Holmes in the 80s, around the 80s. I was at the camp, and I was with Lewis, and I was going to sign a contract with him. And we came that close. I was sparring with them, working out with them, and running around with the Sphinx camp, and I was going to join the Sphinx camp. And then my attorney looked at the contract, and she said, no, don't sign it. This guy's going to have you trapped and big time, so don't sign the contract. So, therefore, I didn't pursue it. I came that close to going back into the ring with the Bush Lewis camp.
Champ, when you were around, title fights were 15-round affairs. After you retired, the limit was reduced to 12. Would you prefer a 12-round fight or a 15-round fight for a world championship, and why?
Wow, that's pretty deep. I'm glad I had a chance to go that 15 rounds, but after that 15 rounds, I was totally exhausted. So he was exhausted also. But 15 rounds is a lot. Let's go with 12. Let's go with 12 because for the health of the body, and therefore I think the boxers could last longer by going 12 instead of 15. 15 rounds is a long time to be taking punishment and putting out punishment and pushing your body to that ultimate level. You got to go to a level that you had never been before, and for its condition-wise, to go 15 rounds for 3 minutes and 15 rounds, that's a lot of combinations.
So do you have any regrets about retiring early?
No, none at all. No regrets whatsoever. I feel spirit-led, and right now my spirit level is so high, my faith is so high. He blessed me to have all my limbs working well and eyesight and all my senses. So I'm very blessed. I have no regret whatsoever on leaving when I did. I invest money into different things. It did help me to get a limo service and different stuff like that. So I'm not totally complaining. I know with finance-wise, I could have did better finance-wise, but I did what I did, and I'm thankful for that.
Great answer, champ. And you still, you have your health and you have your faculties intact, and I think there's a lot to be said for that. I guess my question would be, what did you learn most in the ring that you try to apply to your life today?
Perseverance. Go for it. You can only push yourself. You can push yourself further than what you think you can do. It's a lot of psychological. Some people say, I can't do it. They've got to take that can out and just say, I don't want to do it. But it just helped me to push myself when I need to that next level on anything, really. For it's getting up. Sometimes in the morning, I don't feel like getting up doing my exercise. But then, mind over matter, I get up and do it anyway. So I push myself to that next level. And boxing helped me in a lot of ways, I think. It helped me to be humble also around people. I could respect people and respect different situations.
Now, do you still follow boxing today?
I not deeply. I was watching the Mayweather fight and different fights like that. And I heard some sad news. That if it's true, I'm not sure, but I heard that my opponent, Ricardo Cardona, I heard that he had passed away. I'm not sure how deep that is. And Palmer, he was involved in an accident, and he's not doing too well himself. But Forrest, just really knowing who's boxing tomorrow and Wilder and some of those guys are going on now, kind of watch them a little bit and see what they're doing. And light heavy, the welterweight division, that's doing pretty good. I'm kind of watching them. But for it's really, really getting in and being a boxing, I go to the gym, try to go there like twice a week and be a mentor for those guys at the gym at Tacoma Boxing Club. They still have a team. Their coach is Tom Mustin. He was a 2000 Olympic coach. And I try to go down there. I don't coach them. I just try to be like a moral support. I just show them that they could do it. Just kind of be encouraging to them.
Champ, along those lines, what advice would you offer or do you offer to young boxers who are just getting involved in the sport today?
My thing is, one is running. Make sure you run. You think working out in a gym is great. Being in a good gym, people feel the gym. Get out there and run. Run yourself to death. Run, get in shape. And that's what helped me with the Cardona, go 15 rounds. It's conditioning. You could take a sports car, take a Volkswagen with a Mercedes-Benz. If that Mercedes run out of gas, and a Volkswagen have gas, and that Volkswagen's going to win. So I'm saying run yourself to death, and work out too. Got to go to the gym and get in and do those different maneuvers. But I'm advising all the young people to really get out there and run. Not to get on that little stationary bike and paddle or whatever. Get out there and run and get yourself in good shape. And then you can listen to your coach on that last round when you're tired and don't want to hear anything because you have that energy. Energy comes from running. I hope that helps somebody.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah. the fightnews.com reported today that Ricardo Cardona passed away last Sunday at the age of 63.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
He had a battle with cancer. Prayers definitely go out to his family.
Yeah, and also Howard Davis, a lot of sympathy for him, what he's going through also.
But Dave, you have any final questions?
Yeah, just a quick follow-up, Champ, on the last one. You know, from a business perspective, how would you, you know, what advice would you give to boxers who are just coming into the sport today, how to handle things from a business perspective?
That's a good point, because a lot of times when a promoter put a fight on, we just get the funds. We don't know what the money bout is all about. If you can, not to dig too deep, because try to get more finance involved. And also, when you get your money, set up a fund, a trust fund. Set up things where part of your money is going to go into a certain account. Work with the money and try to take it and buy all these fancy cars and buy all this fancy stuff. Work with the money, deal with the money, deal with the people that are dealing with the money, and make your money work for you. My advice is try to be on the, if you can, be like a Sugar Ray Leonard. Sugar Leonard took over his finance situation. A lot of those guys did. Oscar De La Hoya, they ran finance. Mayweather, all those guys who know how to do finance, I just say if you can, work with the finance part and work with that.
I know you had a son that ended up being a basketball player, I think it was. Would you want your son to be a boxer?
He got that urge when he became 22. And I said, no, it's kind of late now. But if he would have wanted, I kept asking him because of his length. He was tall, had that Tommy Hearns reach, and he could pound you out. And I said, you could do it now while you're 8, 9, 10. I did all the way up until he was like 18. And then he said, no. When he got 22, he said, oh, Dad, I think I want to box. I said, no, too late. It's too late for you to do it now. And I don't even try it. But, yeah, he was good at basketball, and so he did use his height for his basketball concern. He turned out to be a good kid, and I'm really proud of him.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time. You want to tell everybody about your limousine service and your other jobs? Get a plug-in for them again?
Yes. Please call me on my limousine service so I can take you guys. Anybody listen, wherever you're at, if you're close to Washington, to come to Washington, I want to drive to Indiana to get you guys. But anyway, Washington, I don't know if I can get my number out on the air. I'm not sure about that.
You can if you want.
Okay, 253-278-9640. If you ever come to Washington, look me up, and I give you a great deal on a limousine service. Take you wherever you want to go. Reasonable price, very good price. And look me up on Leo Randolph on the website. And you can see some of the, my web stuff on Leo Randolph. And look me up on Facebook, Leo Randolph.
Okay, we'll do this. We'll put your website information and everything on the Grueling Truth Facebook page. So if anybody wants to go there, they can find it there, too, and catch a link on it
super.
That way.
Yes, super. Sounds good.
Hey, it was absolutely an honor to talk to you tonight, champ. I mean, Dave, you got any final words to the champ?
Absolutely. It was an honor. Great talking with you, champ. And good luck with your limousine service and other endeavors in life. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mike, also. Thank both of you guys. I really appreciate this.
No problem.
This,
thanks a lot, Leo.
All right, guys. Have a good night.
All right. You too.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Yep. Thanks. Well, you just heard former 1976 Olympic gold medalist Leo Randolph. Great guy.
Yeah, that I think you just said it all.
Yeah. So, like I said, check out the Grueling Truth Facebook page. If you're in the Washington area, we'll put a link on there so you can get to Leo's limousine company. We can follow Dave Sadursky at?
Follow me on Facebook at Mythical Boxing, and follow me on Twitter at Dave at DCS. 5099.
Dave, you almost forgot your Twitter handle, didn't you?
I almost forget my own name half the time.
I thought that was the part you had trouble with, the way it felt.
I'm getting old, and I haven't even taken any, you know, I haven't even taken any punches in the ring.
Yeah, I was contacted also. This could be for next Tuesday night. I've been in contact with Vinny Pazienza, who I think will be on the show, if not next Tuesday, shortly. They're actually making a movie about his life. I think he wants to come on and talk about that a little bit. So it would be great to have that former champion on also.
Terrific.
But,
terrific.
So, remember, check out Gridiron Mo at www.gridironmo.com. Keep checking back all week. We'll have the Pick'em Show with Leon Searcy, the San Francisco 49er Weekly Show with Dexter Carter and Matt Andrew Scavage, the Cincinnati Bengals Weekly Show with myself, former Bengal linebacker Joe Kelly, and this week our special guest will be Ira Hillary, who is a wide receiver on the Super Bowl 23 team. There's no show for the Patriots because Dave never wanted to do one.
Well, we'll talk about that offline.
We did, and then you never did it. But it would have been perfect for when we play each other in the AFC Championship game this year.
It's a long way between now and January.
Might tank it by then, but we'll be there. So
I will admit the Bengals are they're impressive this year. They're showing me something. And what is it? 4 out of 5 wins were come from behind. Dalton's playing a lot better.
We've hardly ever been behind. Coming into this game, I think we were behind for a total of, like, 56 seconds all year.
But they've got it out with some tough wins, and I guess that was my point, that they're showing.
Well, yeah, I mean, we did come from behind in Baltimore, which I wouldn't normally, the way Baltimore's saying, was a great thing, but it's a divisional game, and you know how those go. Yeah, I mean, how many times you guys play a crappy Jets team and be in the 13-10? So
okay, I'm trying to give the Bengals a compliment here. They're showing a toughness that I haven't seen in the past, frankly.
I saw it, but it was like 1988.
Yeah, those were some pretty – the 81 – okay, who wins the 81 Bengals versus the 88 Bengals head-to-head? Who do you got?
I don't know. I think it's close. I mean, I wrote an article once where I put the 81 Bengals ahead of them. The only reason I did that, though, is I thought the competition in 81 was better with the San Diego and Buffalo teams that were really good. I think the 88 team might have been a little bit too high-powered. I mean, he had some really good running backs. I mean, James Brooks, Icky Woods, Stanley Wilson, Eddie Brown, Chris Collinsworth at wide receiver, Boomer Esiason and a quarterback, even though I do think Anderson was better. I think maybe the big difference is Pete Johnson was a decent running back, but he wasn't as good as the backs that they had. Both teams had great offensive lines. I think the teams are dang near a wash. So hopefully we'll – and I think it's possible the 75 Bengals were better than both of them, but nobody remembers that. That was a team that went 11-3 and lost by 3 points in Oakland in the playoffs, but you had those great Raiders and Steelers teams back then. But
yeah.